This episode of Changelog is sponsored by Audible.com.
Audible. Who isn't in Audible these days? Even I'm into it, who doesn't like books very often. And I'm checking out Ready Player One and a few hours into it. And I know you guys have been begging me to check it out, so decided to use my free Audible month and check it out.
Nice. It's a good one. I love that book.
Best book ever.
Listened to it so many times.
I know. I guess so, I already hearing about it, so now I'm onto it.
Good. And if you want to be like Craig, you can get your free book at onefootover.com/freebook.
Truth. Audible.com. All right. Welcome to Changelog, the weekly podcast where we talk about what's new in the tech world and what that means to real people. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
How y'all doing tonight?
Oh, so good. So good.
Excellent.
Usually I don't think I'm as good as Jim, but you know, come on.
Yeah, I know. Not morose tonight, too. I am wired.
Nice. Were you pre-gaming?
No. Oh, okay. Just I'm excited. Like we are T-minus like less than 2 weeks from the new iPhone.
Truth.
And it starts off the season with Apple and their whole new like lineup of hardware. We'll have iPhones, whatever. We'll talk about it on the show. Anyhow, I'm charged up, I'm ready to go.
Right on.
How about you guys?
I have lots of fun things to talk about.
Sweet. Craig, how you living?
Really good ever since you sent me that message the other day because I've been waiting since April for you know Android Wear to come to the iPhone. So that's going to be fun to talk about. So I'm not going to waste that now because I'm hoping that's going to be a really fun conversation since especially you and I, you know, owning Apple Watches and things like that and my big gripe with it. So kind of wanted to get a little banter going back and forth, see what you think and because mine's sitting up on eBay right now, so if my phone keeps going crazy, it's because people are giving me really crappy offers. So if you're listening to this and you're bidding on an Apple Watch, go higher.
So, well, let's get into it. Beverage talk. Brian, what are you drinking?
Tonight I'm rocking some Sprite Zero with some bourbon in it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's tasty.
Good choice. How about you, Craig?
I've got some Firestone Union Jack IPA.
Ooh, that's a cool-looking can.
Yeah,
it's a cool looking can. I've never had that.
Nothing like being at Binny's on a Sunday when they've got tons of free samples and it's like, hey, you want to try IPAs? Sure, why not? And I got sucked into it because it was that damn good. So
nice.
Because everybody who's out around me was out of Anti-Hero. So this was it actually tastes very close to it. Not exactly, but it was a really good choice instead.
Right on.
Sad Panda.
I was upset, so when I couldn't find the Anti-Hero and I was a little sad and somebody shoves a free sample in my face, try it. Hey, you win my vote for today.
Nice. So try it. You're going to like it.
Yes.
What do you got, Jim?
I am drinking Domaine DuPage.
Oh, that's a good one.
So I never had it before. For those of you listening, I put a link in the show notes. It's by Two Brothers Brewing.
It's a local.
And it's brewed in Warrenville. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I really like it.
Yeah. I just picked up a 12-pack of it this past weekend. Dude, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Is that the gluten-free one or is Prairie Path the gluten-free one?
Well, that is a fantastic question.
I can't remember. And
it does not say gluten-free on the bottle.
It's Prairie Path. They have another one that's gluten-free and very tasty, but Domaine DuPage is my go-to for Two Brothers.
Really? Yeah. So this is my first of the Two Brothers Brewing, and I am going to check out their whole lineup now because I'm so impressed with this.
Nice. They have one, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a red, like French country wine.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular.
So, okay. I'm down. Okay. Awesome.
Right on. So, I had something fun that I had for a project this week, and I figured that I would use it as my topic for tonight. So, I was decided to put together a new media center, or a media server, I should say.
Okay, well tell us about your old server.
Okay, what were you rocking? So I was running a full-out Dell rack server.
Okay.
With dual 700-watt power supplies and the whole deal. And then I noticed my electric bill was really ridiculous.
Just now?
Yeah, I don't look at it that often. So when I looked at it, I was like, oh, and I'm racking my brain. Like, what could it be? I'm like, oh, maybe it's that giant power hog of a server in my basement. Okay. So I started looking at different options, and I know, Jim, you're running a Mac Mini.
Truth.
And
Mac Mini hooked up to a Drobo.
Yeah, and the Mac Mini was a little bit more than I wanted to spend for this. I wanted to try and keep my spending around $200 at the most.
Okay.
I ended up going just slightly over that, but not much. So what I did was I got an Intel Next Unit of Computing, or NUC. I don't know what the abbreviation is for that.
I call it the
that.
Nuke.
The Nuke?
But whatever.
I like that. It sounds hardcore.
It does, doesn't it?
Brian's so there's,
got a nuke.
Whatever.
So there's links in the show notes for the parts that I used in case anyone's interested. But it's just a little, I mean, the thing is tiny. It's probably 4x4. What it says.
Yeah. Wow, that is tiny.
It's really small. And it's a dual core Celeron processor, which for what it's doing, you know, it's serving Plex and running a small Minecraft.
It has to transcode on the fly, right?
It does, yeah. And it also has a built-in hardware decoder, although I don't think it would
nice.
Use that since I'm not actually streaming it off the HDMI. But so I got that, and then I threw in one of the little mSATA SSDs.
Ooh, I'm checking out that one. That's badass.
Yeah, so it's a Samsung 850 Evo, 120 gig, 2-inch drive. The thing is
yep.
ridiculously tiny. Just snap it in there, good to go, and that was only, it's on sale, it was only $75. For that drive.
I can't believe that you could get a terabyte in that size.
I know. It's kind of ridiculous, right? That they can fit that
totally.
Into that tiny little thing. And I put links to the RAM that I have, but I didn't actually buy that RAM. I had taken that out of a laptop, and I just had it sitting around. So
cool.
Since I had it, I threw 8 gigs of RAM in it. And then I loaded it up with the latest version.
Does it take more RAM than that?
It will take up to 16, but it only has 2 slots.
I think I've got a 16 gig set at that PC3 1060.
Ooh.
Or 10.
Well, I will.
666. I'll have to let you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'll take it. I was glad it doesn't require low power memory because I was worried.
Why?
Just because then I would have to buy memory because the memory I had was not
right.
low power. But it actually takes both. So it's pretty cool. I threw on the latest version of Ubuntu Server. Which is actually the one I put on.
Is that
on.
The LTS?
Yeah, it's the 14043 LTS. And I had a little bit of trouble with the install. One of the main tools that everybody talks about for creating a bootable USB is mm-hmm. it's called UNet Bootin. It's a free free program. And it made the disk fine. I booted it, started right up. I didn't have to do anything in the BIOS. It detected it, came up, you know, for the install. And then it told me that it couldn't find my installation media. So I was goofing around with it. I remade it a couple times. And finally, I just went and did it the long way through terminal on my Mac.
Rufus, dude. Check out
Rufus.
Rufus is the way to go.
All right.
I'm putting a link to it in the show notes.
Do that. I'll check that out next time.
Always. It always, I mean, it is like the whoop.
Right on. So I ended up just doing it through terminal on the Mac. And the funny thing
is
the instructions that Ubuntu has for converting the ISO to an image, they're wrong. So for anybody that goes to that Ubuntu page, It tells you to put your source and destination right next to each other at the end, and you actually have to do the command, then your source, then the rest of the command, and then the destination. So I'll write that up and put it in notes as well in case anybody runs into that. But after I was past that hurdle, it installed with no problem, and I was able to get Plex installed as a service. So
how are you accessing all of this?
Now that it, well, when
like,
it was installed, I had a keyboard mouse monitor hooked up to it.
You going to set it up remote?
Yeah, I actually have VNC running on it now.
Nice. Good
and
man.
I can just remote right into it. So I have.
Big fan of headless.
Yeah, VNC and the Plex server and the FTP are all coming up as services. So that way mm-hmm. I don't actually have to be logged in for it to work. If it reboots because
sure.
of a power loss or whatever, everything will come back online. The only thing I haven't been able to get running as a service yet is the Minecraft server. So
Let me get this straight. This little hockey puck is handling all media server duties, FTP server duties, Minecraft server duties. Is that it?
Yeah, that's all, everything I'm doing with
that. That's it right impressive now. For $200.
Yeah, and I'm running two external 2 terabyte drives for media that I have on there. So it's so far been running rock solid. I've had it up for a couple days now, and I haven't had any problems accessing it remotely. And it seems to be working really fast. Like my media is streaming quickly. Nothing weird going on.
What about site to site? Is it serving it up to your outside network fast?
Yes. Yes, yes. Nice. Yeah, I started streaming. Well, I don't know. Have you played anything from my house recently? All right. Well,
I never do.
Well, if you do, that'll work. It's running really nice. And I also have the BT sync running on it.
Sweet.
For sharing media between, you know, our devices.
Very cool.
And I can't remember if you said, I'm assuming you've got it hardwired, right?
Yes, it's hardwired. Okay. It doesn't have wireless. It has an internal slot where you could put a wireless card in, but I would not trust, you know, streaming to wireless.
I'd like to think any one of the three of us wouldn't wirelessly do any of that stuff, but I just wanted to make sure with portability, where you had it loaded. I didn't know if you were just playing with it now or if it's fully up and running.
Oh, no, it's installed. It's down in the basement, hooked up, ready to go, hardwired. All the ports are open for it and everything.
Nice.
So this was replacing a rack-mounted server.
Yes.
What else do you have? Do you have a full rack?
Brian's got a great rack.
You're an asshole. Yeah, I have. I actually have a like a floor stand rack, so it just sits down into it.
What else do you have in your rack?
It was just that.
Oh, okay.
That was it. The other thing I forgot is when I unboxed the Nuke, it did this most excellent thing. When you slide open the box, it goes like this. Which is pretty
That's
much
so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty much the coolest thing that I've ever seen happen with a box.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That is so cool.
So that's pretty much all I have to say about that. Anybody have any other questions or thoughts on this?
No, just because sorry, Jim, cut you off there. I originally, when we were going on our vacation, I was going to make my own Plex server to run out of my wife's truck so the people caravanning with us could Plex right off of it for their kids. And I started looking into building one of the it was an i5 quad core. But by the time it was done and I priced it out, it was like over $400, which is why I bailed on it.
Yeah.
And at the time, they didn't have any good deals on any of the dual cores. So it's kind of a shame this came up now, because I would have loved to have built one of these just for that trip. Because when Tiger Direct was going out of business, I bought one of their old like floor model PCs. I think it was actually like one of the PCs they used in the store for, like, you know, looking up things, stuff like that, you know, for the actual employees. And it's a dual core i5, and it runs pretty well itself, but it's really loud. It runs server fans in it. It's a little sluggish, and it's not exactly, you know, it's still small, but it's not the most portable thing in the world. So I'm, like I said, I'm a little jealous that this came up now rather than back then.
Yeah, this thing, I got it on Amazon. It's on sale right now, so it was only $144. And it is completely silent. It does have a fan, but I couldn't hear it.
Give it time. With Skylake out now, you're going to see a version come out with Skylake, and it'll be completely fanless.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, running Ubuntu server, I'm sure, gives me a lot more overhead on it as well, as opposed to running like Server 2012 or something on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got tons of resource.
Yeah.
If you put in an 8 gig set of RAM.
Right, exactly. And the SSD, which that SSD, being the Samsung 850, is very quick.
Yeah.
There was an Adata one that was about half the price. But the write speed on it was only like 80 megasecond.
No, you want this one.
Yeah.
You seriously made the right choice when it comes to SATA drive.
Yes. I have a couple other of the normal size Samsung Evo drives, and I've been happy with all of them.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Now, really quick, you're running an external, couple external drives off this as well, right?
Correct. Yeah, I have two terabyte externals that are running. It has three USB ports, so those are running off the two of the USB ports.
Okay, that's my next question, because the picture I just saw only had one USB on the
front. Yeah, it's on the front. On the back, it has two more.
Nice. And are they USB 3.0 at all?
I think they're 2.0, okay. Which is probably part of the reason that it's cheaper. Although for what I'm doing with it, I don't necessarily need the 3.0. Although both of my external drives are USB 3.
Hmm.
I know, sad panda. When I upgrade it in like 3 years, then you know it'll be like USB 8 or something.
When Brian upgrades it in 3 months, he'll have USB 3.0. Yeah,
Craig's hit the nail on the head with that one.
Nice.
Oh, that's the way I'd be. That's why all of my stuff starts out one way, and then it's like, I should have went the right, you know. I should have spent the extra money.
Apparently,
but I never listened to myself.
It does have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth built in.
Oh, yours does?
Yeah.
But, didn't even notice. Because I'm not going to use it. But nice that it's there.
No, but the reason I was checking on the Wi-Fi is, like I said, trying to run a, you know, like a little mobile server or something like that. Because, you know, it's nice to not have to bog down Netflix with data, stuff like that. It's just nice to actually have that option, because some of the external, you know, USB wireless cards, I don't know what your guys' experience is, but I found very few over the years that work very well. And right now, my best working wireless card that I use with my Raspberry Pi is one of the tiny little ones that's barely hangs out of the USB port. It looks like a thumbnail USB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it. And it works flawless on every device I've put it on. Now the range is diminished because of the size of it, but outside of that, I used to have a Belkin one that, I mean, this USB thing was probably the size of like three USB thumb drives, and my friend is still using it, and that thing's got to be about 8 years old now. You know, so it's nice when you find those ones that work flawless every time without additional drivers and little support. And
yeah, the one that came with my Raspberry Pi kit actually works really well, and it's the same thing. It's just one of those little nub USB.
Well, the one I bought with my Raspberry Pi has the, it's a little bit bigger than the USB port, but it actually has an antenna you can kind of change direction.
Oh,
that thing was terrible and never worked out of the box. And then you've got to go this and change this command line. No, you take that little nubbin one, throw it in there, and that thing rocks right out of the box. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, one more thing to mention. The computer, it comes with a power supply, but you have to get one of those power cables that has the little Mickey Mouse end to attach to get the power supply to the wall.
Oh, that's nothing.
No, but it's tons of those. It's still funny. I was like, really? You couldn't just put the rest of the cord in there and make it like $10 more?
That's weak sauce, yo.
Yeah. But fun stuff.
Yeah.
It was a nice little project.
Yeah, it was a fun project and, you know, an excuse to do some stuff with Linux. So.
Well, exactly. Those projects are always fun, especially when you've got a purpose, because it's one of those you buy stuff. I can't tell you how long my Raspberry Pi sat around going, what the hell am I going to do with this? I've got it. I put a RetroPie on it. Now what?
Oh, yeah. I just picked up those controllers for the RetroPie setup, too, the wireless
Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Okay. I have them. I did not actually. I got them yesterday. I did not have a chance to install them yet.
Fun.
Yeah. So I'll give an update next week on those.
Sweet.
All right. Jimbo, what you got?
So I wanted to talk about Amazon Prime. Video is now available for offline playback.
Really?
Not because, so The Verge had an article this morning stating that the Amazon Prime has released a feature that Netflix and whatever everybody else, Hulu, don't have, and that's offline playback. So I kind of wanted to, not that I really want to talk about Amazon Prime Video. I mean, I'm a Amazon Prime subscriber. So, I mean, I have access to it, but it's not my go-to.
No, it's a backup for me.
I wouldn't even say it's a backup. I mean, I'm pretty much Netflix or Plex.
Yeah.
And only if, like, there is nothing there would I go to Amazon Prime. And even then, I might just have to not. Because, I don't know. Whatever. Well, the point is, I was hoping to use this as a launching off point to say there's a rumor that Apple is getting into the content creation business. Did you guys hear about this?
I did not.
Oh, not just the content copying business? Sorry, Apple.
I thought that was Samsung.
Oh.
But yeah, no, rumor has it that when we see either in September or October and they release the new Apple TV, one of the things they're going to talk about is Apple releasing original content, which inadvertently, I read a story that the Apple was outed because they were putting in a bid on a new version of the UK Top Gear with all three of the presenters.
Interesting.
And they were outbid by somebody.
Really?
Who were they outbid by? Amazon?
I don't know. Oh. But that was my point, was they were outbid, and when they were looking at the bids and they realized that Apple was one of them, why would Apple be bidding on something for Apple TV for a new series?
Right.
So
trying to give somebody an excuse to actually get an Apple TV.
Right.
So I wanted to pose two questions to the pundits. A, does this, the Prime video being offline playback, does it make Prime a more important to you? Does it mean that you'd be more likely to go there first? And two, how would you feel about Apple trying to give Netflix competition? Craig, why don't you start us off?
Well, I mean, competition in general. I mean, how many times do we have to harp on it and everybody else does? I mean, without competition, nobody's going to try to one-up anybody else. So I like the fact that you've got the three of them competing with each other. I mean, you know, look at Apple with their music, and then Amazon comes out with their streaming service without the copyright to it. Then Apple comes back. You know, it just, it's always that back and forth banter. So, I like the idea of it. I mean, I don't like how Apple makes everything exclusive to their devices. So, I mean, yeah, if you've got an iPhone or an iPad, you could probably watch it. But am I going to run out and buy an Apple TV just to watch the new potential Top Gear or anything like that? Sad thing is, it's probably yes, because I just said, I love Top Gear.
Hashtag fanboy.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But I just get to the point where I'm tired of how many damn streaming devices we have to have in our houses now. You're going to have freaking 12 HDMI ports or a nice big switch.
I was just going
to
ask, which port would that be on, number 4 or number 5?
Exactly. And I mean, before I had my PlayStation, I've got a Blu-ray player separate just because I don't want my kids cramming, you know, Blu-rays into my PlayStation. And, it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, I don't need a Fire TV. I don't need this. I just want one device to play it all and do it well. And Apple Roku. TV just never did that for me, unfortunately. Fire so TV. Sorry, I kind of got a little long-winded on that one. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's good for the competition, but, yeah, how many devices do we need?
Well, if you want a God box for streaming, get a Fire TV because it's great. And it is. I was going to say the main reason I end up getting anything off of Amazon Prime is if I just hit the talk button on my Amazon Fire and search for a show. And if it comes up with a free stream, then sometimes I'll watch them on there. Like I watched all of Downton Abbey on there. It was great.
And that show is ending, right?
What?
I said that I think that show is ending, right?
I don't know.
I think they just announced this is the last season, and
that's fine. I don't know how much more can happen, but you know. Anyway,
okay,
we'll not get off on that.
In the next podcast, Brian reviews Downton Abbey,
right?
And we'll be passing out Red Bull to all of our listeners.
I think Thomas gets the short end of the stick. Is where you know where we all end up at, even though he's a jerk. I think that the best thing that's going to happen out of this is it might kick Netflix in the pants to do something. Because Amazon Prime, they have quite a bit of stuff on there, but their interface is horrible.
And just like their website. Come on.
It's terrible.
The interface is bad, Amazon. I'm sorry. And it is nice that you can rent movies off of there. Like sometimes if I'm, in a snap and I really want to watch something, it's like $3 and you can stream it right away. So it's like the Redbox, but I don't have to go anywhere.
Good point.
That's pretty much all that it has going for it, in my opinion. Whereas Netflix is great. And I mean, it has its problems we all know about.
Yep.
There's, content that should be on there that's not. Stuff that they run into conflict with people, so it's there and then it's gone and then it comes back again later.
Yep.
I think that's not so much a Netflix problem as it's a societal or industry problem with content creators and distribution. And I would like to see that rectified. Like, if instead of having a fee that says, you can stream this for 30 days, how about a fee that says, okay, you can have the rights to stream it, period.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, they need to do something. But
yeah, that's annoying, though. Sorry to trample over you, Brian, but it's like, you know, something that, I saw this and, you know, I'll watch it someday. And finally I sit down, nobody's around that's going to yell at me and heckle me for watching it. And then the damn thing's gone. And I go look on Amazon Prime. Hey, yes, it's on Amazon Prime. Oh, now I got to pay to rent the damn thing. You know, why am I paying this subscription? And now all of a sudden I've got to rent here and it just gets annoying.
So my kids like these shows that are on Netflix. And they're little like one-off shows that were out years ago, cartoons. And then they disappear from Netflix and my kids are crying. And then I got to go to iTunes and buy them.
That's a problem.
Right?
I tell my kids to suck it up and watch Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's true. I should do that.
But yeah, I mean, the point is valid. And the things Netflix has going for it, besides the obvious, the interface for Netflix is really nice. And they do a pretty good job of pushing out updates to all the different devices.
They really do.
And it's funny because it seems actually, of all the odd things, it seems to me like Roku gets the most updates from Netflix.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's Netflix or if that's Roku that's coding it. I'm not sure, but it seems like Roku gets the updates before everybody else. But I mean, the interface is nice. It works well. They recently updated it so that you can actually search by genre on the app, whereas before you couldn't. You had to just kind of look at the weird categories they gave you. I wish they would let you customize your categories where it has like the, you know, new these kind of movies. I wish they would let you customize, like show me these categories, but it doesn't. Maybe it will someday. Maybe they're listening right now and they're hearing what we have to say and they're like, hey, you like us better than Amazon. Maybe we'll give this to you. I don't know. As far as Apple getting into content creation, they have the money, so I mean, why not? But I think I think a great venture for Apple would be to actually get into shows like original, not taking over other shows that already exist, but actually starting to create some new stuff to maybe rival the HBO shows.
Movies.
Or the AMC shows, you know.
Yeah.
Movies.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Give us another AMC.
That would be amazing.
Honestly, I got to tell you, when you look at Netflix at their original content, the amount of original content that's out this year.
Right.
I mean, they only started doing original content, it seems, last year.
Last year.
So last year it was hitting, which means they were at least filming the year before.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago because I think the first thing I really remember was House of Cards and Orange is the New Black.
Right.
And they've already had two seasons of those.
Actually, Orange is the New Black is done with three seasons.
Yeah, they already
now.
Did three seasons. And I think that was that might have been the first one. And then Hemlock Grove, which also
But then
had
they pick
two
up
seasons.
Like Arrested Development first. I know it wasn't an original, but they picked it up and kept the series going.
Mm-hmm. I would love for Netflix to do that also with a couple of other, you know, like good shows that didn't get enough play.
Okay, so Reed Hastings, since you're listening, reach out to us. Brian at onefootover.com. We will totally just give you some free advice.
We got ideas.
All you got to do is hook us up with some free Netflix for life.
That would be great.
Maybe some swag.
Swiggity swag.
But seriously, I'm all joking aside, Netflix, you're killing it. Keep it up.
Woo. All right, Jim. That was your topic. Craig,
yeah.
What you got?
I've got my nice one that I, you know, was graciously given by Jim because he knows how much I love talking about my portable tech. And, you know, it's great to finally see Android Wear available on iOS. And
Yay!
It made me so happy that
Woo-hoo!
I immediately ran out to Best Buy to go buy a Moto 360 to try out, and they were sold out of the damn thing.
Oh, sad
The
panda.
Closest Best Buy with one is like an hour and 15 minute drive from here. And I love Best Buy's 14 days.
Which store?
Is it the one in Aurora?
No, it's the one up off of Randall Road up in Algonquin. So you take Randall Road all the way north.
Yeah.
Up by County Line Road, I think. And it's pretty far up there. But anyways, it's like, okay, I can't make it there on a lunch break and back. So, and if I ordered it,
you should have called. I was across the street from a Best Buy all yesterday.
Oh, I can go online. There's only two of them around here that actually have it. And one's like way out in Melrose Park. And it's, but here's the thing is Best Buy having that 14-day return policy where if you go try it out and you can return it, Best Buy, you're kicking ass on that. Please don't ever get rid of it. It used to be 30 days, but you know what? I don't blame you for the 14 days. Still love it because I wanted to try it out because I've always loved Android Wear, and then I got to actually play with it today for a couple hours and test it out. So it's like I like being able to talk about something that I actually physically get my hands on, and it was great. You know, it's got a little bit of limitations because Apple doesn't like to give up, you know, complete everything. But at the end of the day, I had more fun with the Android Wear watch. And it, which was a Moto 360, which they only claim that the LG Urbane is the only one that's going to work. What's up, Jim?
I'm sorry. I was the whole time you're talking, I'm thinking Best Buy kind of sucks. And I mean, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I was just doing a Google search for Best Buy sucks, and there's even a Facebook community about how much Best Buy sucks.
There's a Facebook page on why changelog sucks. I mean, there's everything out there.
Whoa,
right?
whoa.
Not our changelog. There's
just throwing it out for Jim. The Best Buy on Randall Road in Geneva and the one on New York Street, right by the mall, both have Moto 360s in stock.
Dude, I was in Calumet City, the one off of Torrance Avenue.
Yeah.
And if they'd have had it, I'd have picked it up for you. Of course, I would have been wearing it and been reluctant to give it to you because
you had to pry
but
it.
But the Moto 360 is not one of the ones that's eligible for this. This version of Android Wear.
It's not.
Well, in the show notes, I put some videos of it actually running in there too. So,
hey, that's cool. I'm just going off of the official post by.
Yes. Well, here's the thing.
Google overlords.
Yes. So they only say that the LG Urbane
2
is the only one guaranteed to work. But I can tell you firsthand today, I had a Moto 360 paired to my phone. And was actually sending text messages and was able to – I have a lot of problems. Like earlier I even got a text – I even got a phone call and my Apple Watch didn't even light up saying I had a phone call coming through. But
there are professionals in your area that can help you with those issues, Craig.
Really? Because if you're talking about the Geek Squad, I'd be better off letting my five-year-old try to fix it. So
No. Man, you said you had issues. I was just going off of like the mental health thing, not Geek Squad.
Oh, see, I'm just going off the fact that I've got you know, the Apple Store right over here. So it's like I love it when they come up and be like, do you need to know something? It's like, I'll tell you when I need something. Just walk
Don't
away.
Don't offer me anything.
Let
I'll
my
tell
kids
you what
play
I want.
With your computers over here and break some stuff. And I'm going to look around.
Babysit my kids while I walk around.
Yeah. The only thing I got angry about is when my wife said, I don't want an Apple Watch. And I gave her this demo and everything. And then the girl that came over that barely knew anything about the Apple Watch tells my wife about it. And she thought it was the greatest thing in the world, which once again proves if I like it, my wife doesn't. So
something we have in common.
Yes. So I need to start having other people tell her and be like, hey, you know, you should do these nice things for your husband.
Nice.
Not that she doesn't. So nice. It's just fun to make fun of her about it.
Oh, it's really exciting that they're branching out finally. I mean, Google has been doing a good job of porting all of their other stuff over to iOS.
Yeah.
So it's about time that they move the watches.
No, and it is good. It's definitely. I mean, I understand them blocking some of the third party apps. They will not let you access the contacts on the iPhone. But if you're like anybody else who uses a Gmail account and has all of your contacts stored out in there, you'll access it just fine.
Nice.
Now, I'm still on the fence. I mean, I want to get my hands on a 360 because you can get them online. I've seen them as cheap as $125 new, and they're $149.99 at any of the retailers you can get them at.
Right.
You know, that's for the base model. Now, if you want the, you know, the nice metal band and everything, you're going to pay, you know, closer to $200. But it's, you know, so, but anyways, no, I started kind of going into it. So we started talking about the Android Wear, you know, the possibilities it opens up. You know, of course, it's limited to a few things where, you know, third-party apps don't run, things like that, where I'm fine with that. Because the next thing that I need you to, you know, kind of help me with, I barely use my Apple Watch except for the very basics to see who's calling, who texted, and who emailed. Because you can't even read a full email. And I know a lot of people are like, who needs to read a full email on a watch? You know what? When
I hate the mail app.
I hate how truncated it is, whether it's Gmail, whether it's the iPhone app. It's just meant for a glimpse. So what the hell is the point in I paid $400 for a device to tell me check my phone? Okay, great. Thanks. I just checked my phone.
Yeah, no. You're spot on. It is a $400 device that says, here's what is hitting your phone now.
Yep.
You can ignore it or not. That, I mean, that's it. And if you can limit it to that, or maybe a quick glance at your calendar or the weather, but beyond that, that's it, bro.
Yeah, and that's what's annoying to me with it, because my Gear 2 that I had before, I loved that thing. I used it for a lot more. And, you know, it's not ideal for reading full emails on, but, you know, if my phone is sitting in the kitchen and I get an email, well, now I got to get up and go get the damn thing. I like to be able to use the watch when needed. You know, texting's okay. You know, I like to be able to do the voice reply just like you could on the Gear 2s and stuff like that. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, I mean, I really like the Moto 360, and I was playing around with actually using my voice to reply to a complete email, just like a text message. And I thought it was great.
Now, did you ever take phone calls on your phone?
Yes.
I mean, on your watch?
On my watch, yes, I did.
And I would say that in a pinch, that's pretty good.
See, now, not to keep giving Samsung some plugs here, but my Gear 2, every time I took a phone call on that, people told me that they could hear me better than when I was using the phone. And I thought the call clarity and quality, you know, just the quality overall was better with the Gear 2, whereas I kind of struggle with the Apple Watch, where it's just kind of, like you said, in a pinch, if you can't find your phone, oh, crap, got to answer that really quick. It's great. But I don't like to take a full call on it because any little background noise and it just drowns it out.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. You need to get rid of your iPhone, buy a Note 5.
Yep.
Get your family on. The only problem with that is, I was just going to say, get your family on Android. And then the problem with that is Hangouts sucks. Like, what's the deal with Google? Are they just like abandoning Hangouts?
See, yeah. Google what's gets up like that? It's the hot topic, and it's like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to barely pump anything into it. And you're right. If Hangouts was better, and they, even when they tried to integrate Hangouts into the texting app and stuff like that, or Hangouts took over and messages, went through your texting and everything, it just, I don't know, it just seemed very clunky. And just Apple has it right with the whole iOS, the way it works with texting.
Dude,
and
here's the thing. BBM was so good, BlackBerry Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple was like, you know what? BlackBerry's going away. We're going to build a messaging app that has a lot of the features from BBM that does SMS, MMS, boom, fully encrypted end-to-end and call it done. And they did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it works
great. Google just bought everybody under the sun. And then has this hodgepodge of protocols that they're trying to keep in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they just added it now where you have funny little emoticon animated thingies.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that's what I was
missing.
And as
much as we like stickers and emoticons, Google, fix your shit.
Yeah. I think, honestly, the best update that they've done recently is you can actually paste images from your clipboard into it now.
Yeah.
Which you couldn't before.
That was nice. You're right. That was good. And that was only the last, like, what, 2 months or something like that?
Yeah. And that was something that they should have had from the start. I'm sorry.
But that's true.
That now that that's on there, it's much nicer if I'm trying to share something with you guys, like while I'm at work, because I have the screen grab, I just grab it and paste it in there.
So here's the deal. They need to get the notification syncing across all the devices, whether it's desktop client, mobile client, watch, whatever. And all of that, as well as the back history. You know, there's some smart stuff going on where on the watch, if the notification was going to hit my phone, it would hit my watch. And with Hangouts, it just hits everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it would hit the phone, the desktop, the watch. I mean, it would hit it all simultaneously.
Yep.
And that's kind of annoying.
And if I have if I have a couple of VMs open that I'm logged into my mail, it's popping up on my VMs.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It's like it should know that, hey, I've been actively typing on this one. Show it here first.
Yep.
And you have Chrome running on everything nowadays.
Right.
So it's literally all over the place.
But that's the thing is with Google, why I had trouble even adopting the Android early, is Android was growing by leaps and bounds because it was changing. And it's like they have ADD at times. And they just focus on what's hot. And they
that's
just,
a good way of describing it.
You know, and I hate to do that because you don't want to knock them too bad because Google, you know, they keep everything new and fresh. But it seems like they can never give everything their full attention all the time. I mean, it's like my home renovation projects. It's when it's the hot thing and I've got cash, I'm going strong. Then I forget about it and I don't want to mess with it for like another year. You know, it's just but that's the way I always feel like it. With Apple, it just seems like they focus on it and they refine it and they hone in on it and make it really good. Whereas Google's like, we're going to make it good, but yeah, we'll think about it a year from now to see if there's anything new that we want to do. And that just gets aggravating with all the stuff that they have there and the things they're working on. I mean, that's why I think Google Plus didn't take off. I mean, come on. There's plenty of things there they could have taken on. Any of the other social media sites, I mean, but let's just kind of give it a half-ass attention and hope it succeeds because we're Google.
I think this split with Alphabet will be good because it allows Google to be Google and it allows Alphabet to have various moonshots develop into companies and actually have separate management for those companies and hopefully allow them to continue development on what is important and not be ADD theater like you're saying. Because with Apple, you know, they pick their battles. And when they say, you know what, we're going to conquer this one thing, they do it. With Google, they take on everything and they lose interest, just like you said. So I really think that this Google becoming Alphabet and Alphabet being the parent company allows Google to really be Google and develop these ideas and then spin them off to separate companies and allow them to continue development. And hopefully we won't be in this situation anymore.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. Yeah.
Well, they spun off Niantic Labs, so maybe.
Yeah. So, Craig, were you ever a part of Ingress?
Yeah, didn't we talk about that briefly last week?
We did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I snoring last week?
That was the second podcast when we did the two in a row, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was a big fan of Ingress back in the day.
Okay. Cool. All right, so let's move on to the tip/app of the week. Anybody got anything?
I don't have an app this week, so my tip is going to be that updated script for creating an ISO or an image from an ISO.
Nice.
That you do in Terminal on the Mac. So I'll throw that in the notes, and it'll be helpful to somebody.
In the show notes, there's a link to Rufus, which makes it super easy for bootable media.
Plus, it's called Rufus, which is awesome.
I know, right? Oh, so my tip of the week is, kids, stay in school. Don't do drugs.
Oh, Rufus is Windows?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Because, I don't know.
How many, do you not own a Windows computer in your house?
Not anymore.
I don't believe you.
Jenny has a laptop.
Boom!
I'm not going to use that for this, though, so...
You don't have a VM somewhere?
I'm not even going to mess with that. I know how to do it from the terminal. I'm done.
Okay.
But it looks nice.
Why do you need terminal? You could just... Never mind. That's pretty geek.
Yeah.
I'll just let that go.
Yeah, I was going to say. Just bake it right
out. I was
going
to say use disk utility. Done.
That's what it is. In terminal.
I get it. No, I'm just saying. I made a mistake.
Yeah, you did. Eat
All
it.
All right, Craig.
Eat the mistake. Craig, you're continuing your theme.
I did because, you know, this has had me excited. I've been waiting since April, and I don't even know if I mentioned on one of our podcasts back then where I said, the minute I order my Apple Watch, I know damn well they're going to release it. Well, you know, didn't exactly happen that quick.
It was pretty quick after.
Well, I don't know. They were talking about releasing it in April or May. You know, the fact that it took this long after there were a lot of posted videos about people there's actually a lot of stuff out there, people running the Moto 360 back in like March and April that hacked it. They use the same protocol that the Pebble Watch used to be able to get notifications on it.
Yep.
So that's why I expected a little bit sooner, you know, plus it's Google. But no, I threw the link into the iOS App Store if you run an iOS, just because it's got the iOS app for Android Wear. And even if you download it now and you don't have a watch to sync to it, you can actually do the learn more, which there's not really a whole lot more you can learn that's not on the web. But I just wanted to keep it going because it's the first topic I've had in a long time that was like got me really fired up and is like, I need to go buy this, check it out. And even though I couldn't buy it, at least I had a friend who was nice enough to loan me their watch and let me play with it for a little while today. So,
right on.
I'm not going to lie. The Moto 360, I love the display on it. I think it looks like a very weird watch just because it's a round disc on your wrist.
Uh-huh.
You know, but then again, I don't even like my Apple Watch much except for that nice silicone case I have on it that makes it look a little beefier. So, but they just got to get that LG R watch down in price because, man, I love that thing.
Yes. I like to remind everybody listening that you should give us some feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on our website. There's a comment section on every single one of these, so we'd love some feedback.
We do like feedback.
And I'm at 1 foot over on Twitter. Jim is on Twitter now.
What? It happened. It happened.
Craig has a Twitter, and I've never seen him post anything. But
yeah, you know, I don't post as much on there. I kind of stick to the Instagrams and stuff and like to put funny pictures out there. So,
right on. But it'd be good. Anybody have anything else for tonight?
Not really. It was kind of a good...
I don't think so.
Cool. Well, let's remind everyone that Comcast hates you.
They do hate you. And check out our show notes.
It's in our show notes. And that's about it. So that's Changelog for this week. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
Have a great week.
Yep.